the kingdom of God. And Brother Greenhalgh's certainly pointed out for us that Jesus Christ made it very clear that he was no part of this world. One of the themes that Jesus, well, really the predominant theme of our Lord's ministry was in fact the kingdom. He drew attention to the kingdom in basically every sermon and preaching activity that he did. The question that they had in that time was that the Jews wanted liberation from the yoke of the Romans. They were treated absolutely terribly, and they were looking, in a human way, to a liberator that would lift them from bondage, from the Romans. But Jesus, in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, I'd just like you to turn with me. This is the model prayer, or the Our Father prayer. Here, we've all read this many, many times, but if we just focus just for a moment here, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in the heaven." This is really, really important, because here we are praying, we have been commanded by Jesus Christ our Lord to pay attention to the kingdom, and we're praying for its will to be done on the earth as well as in heaven. So here we see this connection between the blessings of a kingdom, not just in heaven, but here on the earth. So I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 9. And verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. Sorry, I'm in Song of Solomon. There we go. It's a lovely verse, but it's not the right one. Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. "For a child will be born to us, a son be given to us, and the government will set on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And verse 7, "And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For then on and forever the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." So here we see that this is our Lord, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Eternal Father, and the Prince of Peace. And here in the lineage of David, as we learnt from Brother Jolly's wonderful discussion, that promise to the nation of Israel, which was blessed through Christ Jesus, we see that this government, that he is the Prince of Peace, is going to last forever. Now, the question is, well, if we have a kingdom in heaven under Christ Jesus, what happens to the governments that we have here today? So we will once again look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. We've read this many times, but it's just so powerful. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Now, this is in line with the marvellous prophecy that was given to Daniel of this immense image that showed us the kingdoms that had ruled. And when we come down to verse 44, it speaks of this kingdom that is, the head is Christ Jesus, and it says in verse 44, "And in the days of those kings," and that was Daniel's prophecy, "the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another person. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it itself will endure forever. So what we see is that the governments of this world, they are going to be done away with, because that of the kingdom of Jesus Christ will last forever. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. And here it is a thrilling scripture, because it tells us something about this kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. And here it says, I'll just read this first. It says, "If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." Now the point here, though it's just a tiny little fraction of this, it shows that those of us who are in union with Christ Jesus have the opportunity to reign with him. When we think about kingdoms, that's usually a king or, for instance, a queen. But here we have an invitation for those to also come and join with Christ Jesus. I'd like you to turn over to the back of the Bible in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26 and 27. And it says, "And he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father." Once again, the authority of Jesus Christ is for those who have overcome, the overcomers, those who have put away the things of the flesh and have dedicated themselves to doing the will of God. So what a marvellous opportunity that will be. Now, other blessings of this kingdom that will be over the earth is found at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, 28 and 29. This is marvellous, this scripture. It says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all," I mean, we learnt that just yesterday, "all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice," that's Jesus Christ, and "shall come forth, those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." And as we learnt yesterday, that all, unlike other religions, unlike those that I previously associated with, as in Jehovah's Witnesses, that some might not be resurrected, the scriptures clearly point out that all will be resurrected. What a wonderful thing, what an amazing thing, how loving that is to be able to have these wonderful words and take to our heart, that all will be able to benefit from the kingdom arrangement. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah 25, and we'll have a look at verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25, verses 8 and 9. "He will," this is Jesus Christ, "he will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken," and verse 9, "and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord of whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." How wonderful, wiping every tear and having this prospect here, how heartwarming it is for us. Also, we see in Isaiah chapter 2, I'd like you to just go back a little bit to Isaiah chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 1 through to 4. Isaiah 1 through to 4. And the word which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. And the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This foreshadows a time under Christ's millennial reign, in which all nations will be taught, all the people of the world will be taught by Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful situation it will be. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, the kingdom is a real kingdom in which Jesus Christ is the ruler. The benefits will be for all mankind. They'll be brought back to perfection. What Adam lost, Christ Jesus has found. And he will bring all us back into perfect union with Christ, with heaven and earth. As we started off in the prayer, which was, thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven. And we pray for that time to come. Thank you.